And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. God, looking to you to deal with us according to your grace, because of your mercy, and because of your being just who you are. So, Spirit of God, thank you very much. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence. And Father, we want it all to end up, to start from start to finish, to please you. And our Father, we're going to be thankful very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, we stopped for Christmas a little bit and reminded ourselves that thou would call his name Jesus. And you read it in the scripture reading, Matthew 1 and 21. And we share that together, that prestigious name, and how relevant it is. And remember, Jesus, Jehovah saves, or Yahweh saves, Jesus, the Savior. And thus, chapter 45, and in verse 21. Remember, they're all assembled together. God summons them together, the world. Tell ye, bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient old times? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. And the word Savior is the word, if you think of Jesus in the New Testament, you slide over here. Savior. Jesus the Savior. He is the only God and he's the only Savior. Verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved. There's your verb. All the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. There is no one else anywhere, way, shape, or form to save you. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. And shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. And remember Philippians chapter 2, every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. His name. Wow. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, so therefore, just to review, because we need to line up, because we're trying to understand the word Emmanuel. We went and sought to understand the word Jesus. He also is called Emmanuel. So I want to understand that and put some sinew, some meat, some ligaments on it so it stands out. Therefore, he's the only God and he's the only Savior. One God, one Savior. And he is omnipresent. He's everywhere present. He never has to move. Never has to move at all. He's always present. Now, and Adam and Eve tried to hide from his presence. Oh, they couldn't, but they did. And Cain tried to run away from his presence, but he couldn't. Because God is ever present. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And you will note, to say it, verse 23. I am a God at hand, saith the Lord. And not a God afar off? Am I not here and there? Verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? There's nowhere I'm not present. There's nowhere I'm not present. I'm the only God and the only Savior, and there's nowhere I'm not present. Therefore, God, here we are, here's God outworking creation, Adam and Eve, etc. And as you're outworking, and it goes down to the days of that, in the days of Noah, etc. And Enoch is one of them there. You don't have to turn there. Genesis 5 and 22. Enoch walked with God. Uh-huh. No one else. Well, Genesis 6, 8. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. They walked with God. His God ever present. What about all the rest? Well, there's no mention of all the rest walking with God. Now, Abraham, chapter 17 of Genesis. We were there in Sunday school. Chapter 17, and reminding yourself that Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. So God, here's Enoch and Noah and Abraham, among others, that walked with you. They walked with you. That's what they did. And Moses walked with you. Uh-huh. And you told Joshua that you would walk with him as you walked with Moses. And Joshua, you walked with Joshua. I did. And with David, you walked with David. I did. I walked with David. I did. Did you walk with Israel? I did. But they didn't understand it all. Therefore, Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah and chapter 41. May I pick up the thought, please? In verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant. 41 and verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Now, fear thou not, verse 10, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I want you to know, verse 10, I am with thee. I'm going to walk with thee. Wherever you go, I'm going to walk with you. Now, having said that, and here's all these dear people that God, in the presence of God, the only God and the only Savior, they walked with God in a most wonderful way. Wow, they did that. Now, the basis. This was all possible. How could they possibly walk with God? Why is it possible? Because of God's wonderful glory and creation. God, you want to show forth your awesome person in a very personal way. Uh-huh. And you did so. Now, hang on. We've got to go back a bit to put it together. Do you understand God? When there's nothing, no creation, no angels, the rest we don't know about, no angels. And God created before angels, God had all of the creation mapped out, designed and ready to go. Now God, here we are looking, and you made angels. Angels fell, as we know. Angels sinned, and you'd had a wonderful, wonderful exhibit for them. To show them, because they were looking and blaming you, accusing you of that you were unfair, unjust, unequal in judging them. Now, and therefore, God, you're going to show your wonderful, wonderful grace who you are. How so? Ah. Now, Genesis, well, you have to turn there. Genesis 1, 26, 27. I have created male and female, in my image and likeness. To say it simply then, I made man, male and female, to represent me. I wanted to be able to take in my great creative work, and in the middle of my great creative work, I'm going to put humans in my image and likeness. I'm not only going to put humans there, but I'm going to design them so that when they're able to know me. Angels can't do that. Angels can't do what I'm going to do for children, for humans. I'm going to make them in my image and likeness. So when I look at them, I'm going to see myself like a mirror. I'm going to look at them and see myself. Hang on to that. That's what we're made for. God, you made it to put yourself on display. Aha! And more than that, you know in Genesis 1 and 28, you don't have to turn there, male and female created them in image and likeness, and he gave them the privilege to rule, to dominate over all, everything on earth. Not in heaven. Remember Psalm 115, earth is created for humans. That's all there is. So God, here we are on earth, the center of all the 2 trillion galaxies observable, and that are said. Now here we are in the middle, little earth out there in the middle of that. And God, here it is, and in the earth. Before you put all that out, there's the earth. There's the earth hanging there, circling space. And then you did all of this, 2 trillion galaxies. That's the observable that they're saying that they can observe. I don't know how they observe it. Wow. And on it, you put humans. I put humans. And the purpose of the humans are to rule, to run the whole earth. Above birds, bugs, fish, everything, dinosaurs, rhinoceroses, cockroaches. Everything to rule. Aha. Now man sinned and lost that privilege, didn't they? They lost the privilege. And the devil came in and sweeped it up, took it over. So all the nations are under the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Now, so the whole humans are to dominate. Now, sin comes along and louses the whole thing up. It does. It does. No question. So God, you knew this was going to happen because it's part of your wonderful design. And you allowed sin to make, like, think of diamonds, a illustration for good or bad. Just think if you wanted to display a diamond, you wouldn't put it on a piece of white and very flashy. You're trying to get a nice dark piece of cloth and put the diamond on it. So all of its facets, its faces, could glisten. God, you did it. I did. I let sin happen. But you know, I had a wonderful plan, and my plan stays in effect. So now, here's Adam and Eve, and they sin, and God, you gave them a promise, Genesis 3:15, that if the seed of the woman would come along, and the seed of the woman would be the Savior, to bring the restitution, the recovery of all that sin made possible. And you have done that to make that happen. That's right. So I made that promise to Adam and Eve and all the way down the line. And I told them that I was going to come, seed of the woman. I'm going to come and I'm going to be the Savior. I'm the only Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. I'm the only Savior. I'm the only God, and I'm going to be with you, Emmanuel. I'm going to be with you. That's different. It's with you. And in the process now of all of that, So here's God's wonderful rule and reign, and Adam and Eve don't have that. We don't have that at all. We don't have that. Now, if you were to go prophetically in the Old Testament and turn the pages, here's Genesis 3:15, the promise. The promise is made, and then it's confirmed and restated and done so that you could follow it if you were a human, reading, having God's word, having God without his word, then you'd follow, and here you are. God, you wrote in the book of Micah, remember, though thou be little, though thou be such a little place, Bethlehem, you'd drive right through it. You wouldn't even know you were in it. Wow. 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 Now, thou be little. You know what God said? I'm going to bring all of eternity. I'm the eternal God. I'm going to bring all of eternity down to that little place. And a child is going to be born in time, in that little place. Uh-huh. God, you're going to do that. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. Wow. And over, well, you're here in Isaiah, why not? Over to chapter 7. So here's all of the wonderful prophecy that God unfolds page after page, as it were. God's announcement of his involvement is always there. You're involved. I am. I am, said God. Now, chapter 7, verse 14, you are familiar without doing all the details. Chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's a title, Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. God with us. Three little words in the Hebrew. God with us. God. Emmanuel. And thus, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Okay, we got that part. And he's going to be called Emmanuel, the seed of the woman, who steps out of eternity into time in that little place of Bethlehem. Uh-huh. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. And chapter 9, verse 6. Again, you familiar. For unto us a child is born, that little town of Bethlehem, but a son is given. The God you gave you, put your wonderful, wonderful person, God the Son, in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. For unto us is born, a child is born, a son is given, the government should be upon his shoulder, his name should be called, and then all the titles, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. You are going to rule. That's right. I'm going to rule. God, Emmanuel, that was the purpose of man, to demonstrate to the great angelic world of my wonderful person, and I would, my little person in all of the humans would reflect the my lordship, that I'm the creator, I'm the redeemer, I'm the only one, and they control everything, everywhere, everything answers to them. They have no problem. They are the lords of the earth, representing the Lord. That's right. That's the purpose. Uh-huh. And to get it, I'm going to rule. And we keep reading it. You're going to rule. That's right. Shiloh comes. He's going to rule. He's going to rule. He's going to rule. That's what he's going to do. So now, and thus, Emmanuel, God with us, what are you going to do? You're going to make something happen that didn't happen, that could have happened with humans. Uh-huh. But I'm going to make it possible. Now, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to Luke and chapter 1. Now, God made wonderful prophecy, promises, and He made it all possible by His wonderful power in who He is. And thus, Luke and chapter 1. So now, God, here's the seed of the woman. Seed of the woman, promised, virgin. He shall call it, he's the mighty God, the Savior, that's right. And Luke chapter 1, picking up, if I can, down in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He's going to be born the Spirit. God, you're going to make it all possible. He is born in the likeness of men. You made him in make God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 2:7, comes in the likeness of men. Wow. Made of a woman, Galatians 4:4, I should say. Made of a woman. Hebrews 10. There's going to be no question, God, your name is an awesome name, Jesus. Chapter 10, picking up, if I may, in verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, the law, that he may establish the second in his wonderful grace. So now, here we are looking. And God, you're going to prepare a body born by way of the Spirit of God's going to make it possible in the Virgin Mary. And she's going to be have a little baby in the middle of the little place called Bethlehem, in that little place, and that's what she's going to have now. And she's going to have that, and a body. Now, what about the body? Now, humans, we're in a body, Philippians 3, we're in a body of humiliation because of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, Romans 7:24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's this humble body. It's dying. You're living in a dying. You got dead skin. That's all we see. Dead skin. When we shake hands, dead skin to dead skin. Wow. If you didn't have dead skin, you wouldn't want to shake hands because it'd be all oozy. You wouldn't want to do that. No. Now, so God, Hebrews chapter 2. What else do we know? In Hebrews chapter 2, our Lord, when he was created, born of the Virgin Mary, a body, perfect man, perfect God, perfect person. Hebrews 2, picking up, if I may, directly in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Not like an angel, nope, like us, made in his image and likeness. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, little boy growing up, he's crowned with glory and honor. A big boy growing up, 12 years old, young man, 30 years old. He's crowned with glory and honor. That's what God intended for humans. That was the purpose, to enjoy the wonderful benefit of representing God. God would see himself, and then you would represent all that the devil wanted to be have power. I've given it to lowly humans, made in my image and likeness, to demonstrate to the whole world
to all of creation, I am Lord of lords and King of kings. Wow. And thus crowned with glory and honor. That's meant. God, you meant us to have that. Wow. But we don't have it. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And you will notice, please, John 13, in verse 13. I said 13, didn't I? Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 13. I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verse 13. The Gospel of John. And no man, said the Lord, hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
Uh-huh.
The Lord said, listen, no one came. I came down. I am the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Uh-huh. What's so important about man? Well, because you see, before angels were ever created, I had in my infinite mind, I had humans, like Adam and Eve, humans. And I was going to do a wonderful thing. I was going to do a wonderful thing. And God the Son was going to do it, make it happen. In the Virgin Mary, the God-man. He is the Son of Man. Do you understand? He's meant to rule the world. You were meant to rule the world. He will rule the world on your behalf. Wow. Now, so, and thus, we'll go back, you're right next door. John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1 and 14. And the Word was made flesh, remember, the introduction. If you were going to say, Matthew chapter 1, we have Jesus born. Luke chapter 2, Jesus born and about his birth. In John, we don't have anything about his birth. This is it. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, born in Bethlehem of Judea, and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. So God, here we are, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of Man. One of his titles, one of his marks, his identification. He's the Son of Man. And his name is Emmanuel. And you can go on and check that, read that. Now, having said that, Emmanuel, God with us, and he did what? Hebrews 2:16. He took on him the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman. And chapter 2, verse 14, you don't have to read that. Children, the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Likewise, he took the same flesh and blood, only without sin, Hebrews 2 and 14. So that he 2 Corinthians 5:21. God the Father hath made him to be sin for us. God did that. He did that. Emmanuel, God with us. What for? To identify with us. Now, God, you not walked with Noah. You walked with David, but not like this. Nope. This is the reason I could do that is because of what I'm going to do. I am Jesus, and my name, another name, is Emmanuel. I am with you. Who's with me? God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. And as it were, he bare his own self, his own self bare he,
our sins in his own body on the tree in 1 Peter. God, you did it to take us to the cross. I did. We've shared that many times. Just understand, he became sin for us. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful sin for us. So that what? To save us. He's the Savior. And by the way, he's the perfect substitute, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect satisfaction. He's perfect. God with us. God is perfect. And what God does is perfect. And how he does it is perfect and wonderful. Now, having said that, over to John, you're here still, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, may pick up, please, if I can, in verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Remember, as we've been reading through the Gospel of John, their reaction every time. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. And they understood that very clearly, making himself equal with God. That's what he did. He's God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he made it very clear. Emmanuel, I'm with you. God is with you. Do you understand, guys? I'm here. God, with you. Emmanuel, I told you my name. I told you how to identify with me. I'm Emmanuel, God with you. Wow. Hang on to that. Now, in the light of that, chapter 14, to do it quickly, to see it a little bit, John chapter 14, again in verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Now, why would you say that, Philip? Why would you say that? So here we are, the Lord Jesus Christ, continually making it very clear that he was exactly who he was. No question who he was. Well, you're here, over to back John chapter 8. And remember, he's just reminding you of places as we studied them in John chapter 8 and verse 58, a direct statement, Exodus 3:14, I am, Moses said, what's your name? I am that I am. And here, you couldn't say it more directly to the Jews, and then they were going to stone him. Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was ever born, I am that I am. I am. And they were going to stone him, understandably. You said you're God. That's right. I'm Emmanuel, God with you. Do you understand? I'm with you. Wow. With you. And God, if you want, we need you're the seed of the woman. And you've come to make it clear, and you're going to die on the cross and take us our, not your death, our death. You're going to die for every human being that was born on planet Earth. You're going to take the penalty of death and pay the penalty for the sins of the world. That's right. Now, and it's going to make possible your glorious plan to what? To restore everything. That's right. I'm going to restore it. I'm going to put it all back in order. Now, how are humans going to do it? Well, the humans aren't going to do it. Nope, not humans. Not directly. No. I want you to know that I am the Son of Man, that I am the Son of God, and I am Jesus, the Savior, and I am Emmanuel, God with you. Now, do you understand? My whole purpose is to rule, is to demonstrate who I am. It isn't to demonstrate who you are or who I am. It's to demonstrate who he is. And thus the whole purpose. God, and we're, here we are bumbling around on planet Earth, as it were. And God, what is your whole purpose then? Well, I'm going to go and show the whole world
by way of this man. Now remember, you don't have to turn there, Acts 17. God is going to judge the world, the whole world, at the great white throne judgment by one man, Acts 17, by the man Christ Jesus. And you'll know the man I'm talking about because he has risen again from the grave. That's the man. That's the man. That's the man. It is. Wow. And you know that man? That man is the man. The man. And he's going to put it all together in his most wonderful way. Over with me to see it a little bit. Over if you would to, oh, First Corinthians, I'll make it personal. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And picking up if I can, in verse 19, just to remind the believing heart, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God's. You all belong to God. That's right. That's what God made us in his image and likeness. God sent his son, the seed of the woman, to die for us, to save us. That's what you did, God. That's right. I did that. So now, in your glorious plan, that's right. I died for you. Now, keep in mind, God, and you're doing all that to put it all together. Chapter 14, and picking up if I can, remember, well, if you went to the Corinthian church, to remind you and myself, if you went to the Corinthian church as an unbeliever, if you went to the Corinthian church as a carnal, fleshly, not a very dedicated believer, what would you know if you went to that place? Verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues and languages, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad, you're crazy? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, doesn't believe, and unlearned, uneducated, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, clear, public, plain. And so, falling down, what is this person going to do? He's falling down on his face. He will worship God and report when he goes outside with his family and friends, report that God is in you of a truth. Not your singing, not your anything else. It was you knew God. God, what are they supposed to see when we're done? A wonderful, wonderful Savior, God with us. Hang on to that. That we're saved. God saves us. We're in the presence of God, and he saves us. That's what he said he would do. And he's with us to make it happen. Aha. How is he with us? In the person of Jesus Christ. God in Christ with us. Hang on. And thus, chapter 15. When God is all done, chapter 15, picking up if I can, I'll read verse 24 for a little better context. 15 and 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, and put his, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he, God the Father, hath put all things under his feet, Christ. But when he saith all things are put under him, Christ, it is manifest, clear, public, plain, that he is, God the Father is accepted, not included, which did put all things under him. Now, verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued under the Son of Man, Emmanuel, God with us, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, the Father, that put all things under his feet, that God may be all in all. So what is your purpose, Lord? To create us in your image and likeness? We're to rule, but we fail, we sin. But God, you came in our likeness, born in Bethlehem of Judea, to what? To bring humanity back into the place you meant it to be, so that humans would represent and reflect God. And you're going to bring, Lord, you are Lord of lords and King of kings, and you're going to judge everything, everywhere, absolutely. I'm the ruler. I'm the Lord. And I want you to know that I have made it possible to make happen in the days ahead all that I meant to have in the beginning. I am Lord of Lords again. I'm the Son of Man. I am God with you. My whole purpose was to glorify my matchless, marvelous, merciful name. That's what it's all about. God with us. Now, having said that little bit, and remember very quickly, remember Moses, Exodus 33, and Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, what? We're not going. And God said, my presence shall go with you. My presence shall go with you. Wow. And in Hebrews 13:5, you don't have to turn there. Wow. 13:5. Well, turn there. That's a good one. Well, yeah. What can I tell you? Hebrews 13. Just to remind you and myself. Hebrews 13. God, here we are in the New Testament. Here we are on the other side of the cross. And let your conversation, let your manner of life be without covetousness. In other words, be content, satisfied. And be content with such things as you have. Now why? Why couldn't I be envious and greedy, greed and jealous and all of that? Want what someone else has? Because. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And remember now, I will never, you see never, in the Greek that's two negatives. Remember, double negative is a huge positive. That's double negative. I will never, negative, leave thee. Now when you come to the next, nor forsake thee, there's three negatives. One, two, three. I will never, never forsake thee. Now I don't know how to say it differently to you. The whole point for your life, to relax. I'm with you. I'm with you. Relax. But, hold it. I am with you. Well, who are you? I'm God. I am God. So why can't you just relax? But there's starving. But sometimes starving is necessary. And sometimes abundance is necessary. I'd make it all come out together. It all has to work out wonderfully well. Now in the process of all of that. So God, you're wonderfully satisfied. Now my question is then to me and to you. I've got to watch the time. To me and to you. God, and by the way, we can't read it, but if you were to read Ezekiel 8 and 23, you would read in the millennium, in that day, as the Jews come to worship in Jerusalem, 10 Gentiles of different Gentiles, different country, language, they're all going to grab. They're going to grab hold of that Jew's garment and said, You're going to Jerusalem to worship. You're going. And we know what? God is with you. That's why they wanted to hold his garment. They're all going to go, but if the Jew, God is with you. Believing heart, is God with you? Do people know God is with you? It isn't how brilliant you are or how stupid we are. It's about a relationship. I have a wonderful Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. God, Emmanuel, God with me, God with us. Aha, with us. And God with us. And you turn it around over to Colossians, in closing Colossians. I hope you got a little bit. You have to understand, Emmanuel, God said, listen, I had to come to put it all together. Because you see, it's all about me. It's all about who I am. So that when people look at you little humans, they're going to see me. They're going to know I'm the creator. I'm the power, the provider. I'm everything to them. That's what you're supposed to be. Isn't it? We're supposed to be saved. Saved. Now, if you had a little list. Now, take a piece of paper, a large one, and take a piece of paper. I want you to start, when you get home and you want something to do, write down all the things that if you're saved, or if you aren't saved, what does God save you from? All right? You're going to start the list. And God saves me from, right? God saves me from disappointment. God saves me from discouragement. God saves me. God saves me. You can write all those things down. And when you write down, and then probably that's a very tiring list. So I'll give you a short list. What doesn't God save you from? What doesn't God save you from? Marriage, children, friends, happiness. What doesn't God save you from? He's the Savior. You reckon yourself dead. He provides a whole wonderful life. Colossians. God, it's one thing for you to be with us. It's another thing for us to be with you. Aha. Now, and thus, if I may, Colossians in chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him, W-I-T-H, in baptism, identification in his death, wherein you are also risen with him, through the faith that is in the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, verse 13, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Verse 3, for we are dead, and our life and your life is hid with Christ in God, who when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Wow, God, that's it. He's with us to make it possible for us to be with him. Are you with him? Are you with him? Is he with you? Are you with him? Ah, Emmanuel. Wonderful Emmanuel. I said, no, then you miss out. All you had to do is take God at his word and understand God means what he says and says what he means without any question. And God said, here I am. Now, either we're going to tap into that by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, or we're not. But it is our privilege to do so. Wow.
Emmanuel. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Wonderful. God with us. God for us. Our Father and God, thank you for your grace and kindness and to bring it all together that you'd be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That God, in and by and through you, we would understand and have the privilege of being saved, have the wonderful privilege of being set apart, have the wonderful privilege of God to be able to serve your wonderful will and way, and look to you for the outworking of all of that you have in mind, for our Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord of Lords. But God, here we are, and we bow our head now. We aren't waiting for then. We have now, presently, a present moment. God, we find ourselves on the cross. We find ourselves in your Son. We find ourselves with you. God, you made it possible by way of our Lord Jesus Christ to be with us, and by our Lord Jesus Christ for us to be with you. That's an awesome thing. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.